Jesus said, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Last week I shared with you that while I was working in the state of Alaska for the United States Public Health Service as a public health administrator, one day Jesus spoke to me and he said, "It's time to quit your job and go to seminary to prepare for the ministry." At that time when Jesus spoke, I was 1.5 years into a 2-year government contract. In other words, I signed papers. I promised that I would work for the government for 2 years in Alaska on a particular project which included the vaccination of 80% of all Alaskans. That included the Indians, the Aleuts, all white men and women, of course, the military, and the Eskimos. I was to see that these people were immunized against 5 communicable diseases. Now, Alaska is a pretty good-sized state. When you put the state of Alaska on the United States with its Aleut chain, it will reach from California in the west all the way to New York City in the east, and from Canada in the north all the way down to Alabama. So this was a big assignment in a land with some rather extreme cold temperatures at times. Now, Jesus said, "Leave this job and get ready for seminary." What was I going to do? Was I going to keep my contract with the government of man, or was I going to sign up a contract with the government of God? Whenever, my friend, Jesus calls you, you will come to a point of conflict. A point of conflict with your family, or with your boss, or a point of conflict with your relatives, or with your personal dreams, desires, wishes, aspirations, and plans. For example, when Jesus was on the earth, he said, "Think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." In other words, he's saying, when I'm coming, when I take over your life, it's not going to be smooth going. "I am not come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword," and that is conflict. I'm come to send a man at variance, that is in conflict, against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foe shall they be of his own household. My friend, whenever you forsake all to follow Jesus, you come to a point of conflict with people. When Jesus said, "I came not to bring peace but a sword," he didn't mean a physical sword. He didn't mean we're going to go to physical warfare. No, this is a spiritual warfare. And this is a warfare that brings division. For Jesus also said, "A man's foes shall they be of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and follows after me is not worthy of me." When Jesus said to me, "Son, it's time for you to quit your job," I was at a point of conflict. I was in that 2.5-year government contract, and I had 0.5 year left to finish. Matthew was at a point of conflict when Jesus called him at the receipt of customs. He was not finished with a day's work either. He had a commitment to his family, to his boss. But Jesus said, "Come and follow me." And Jesus meant now. Not tomorrow, but now. Not after the day's work is done, but now. So there was a point of conflict. The rich young ruler wanted to be a follower of Jesus. But Jesus said, "You can't come with me unless you forsake all and sell all you have and give it to the poor." The rich young ruler was brought to a point of conflict. So Jesus called another man. He said, "I want you to be my follower." And the man said, "Later on, but not right now. I want to stay with my father. He's sick. I want to nurture him. I want to help him. And after he's dead, then I'll follow you." In other words, he said, "Jesus, I'm going to put you on the back burner. My daddy is first. He needs me more. And then you, Jesus, are second." Now, Jesus said to me, "It's time to quit your contract, your government contract, and to get ready for the ministry. I want you to go to seminary." There was a point of conflict, dear one. So what did I do? I trusted Jesus. It's the first thing you always do. You trust Jesus. Don't question his judgment. Don't question his wisdom. Just trust him that somehow he's going to help you to work things out. So I got on a plane. I flew all the way from Alaska down to California to see my boss at his regional office, and I prayed all the way down. I mean all the way down, all the time. So I got into his office, and I told him Jesus has called me to quit this job, to break this contract, to enter seminary, to prepare for the ministry. And while he was looking at me for a moment or two, between two puffs of blue smoke of his big cigar, he said to me, "Since Jesus is calling you, you better follow him." Hallelujah. My friend, this man, who had no apparent religious affiliation, he knew that much. He knew more than many, many church people know, that when Jesus calls, no matter where you are, what you're doing, and what you're into, and what you promise to men, when Jesus calls you, you'd better go, and you better go now. I wish all church people would know what this cigar-smoking federal government bureaucrat knew. He released me from the government contract, and all was clear. Now, the next thing for me was to find out is where I would go to seminary. At that time, I was not committed to any particular denomination or religious affiliation. So, do you know what I did? I got myself a catalog of all the seminaries in the United States, and then I said, "Jesus, I'm just going to run my finger down the names of these seminaries. They're all in alphabetical order. And you stop my finger when I get to the one you want me to go to." I didn't tell Jesus I don't want to go to a Catholic seminary, or don't send me to a Methodist or a Lutheran or a Pentecostal seminary, or certainly not to a Seventh-day Adventist seminary. No, I didn't tell Jesus anything like that. I just asked him, I said, "Jesus, would you please stop my finger whenever my finger gets to that name of the seminary you want me to attend?" Now, does it sound fair to you? When we pray for something, should we give Jesus restrictions or limits? Will Jesus answer our prayer if we give him restrictions? Think about it. And so I began to run my finger down these names, beginning with A. It was only a few seconds, and my finger stopped at Asbury Theological Seminary. I said, "Praise the Lord." I didn't know much about the seminary, but I knew one thing. Jesus wanted me there. Jesus had chosen me out of the furnace of affliction as a young boy of 16 years of age. Jesus is the one who had shown me my wife on the gravel road in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado. Jesus had told me to go to seminary, and now Jesus told me which seminary to go to. Oh, isn't that precious? So, dear ones, wouldn't it be wonderful if all the young men and young women would allow Jesus to choose a college or the seminary for them? Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of our young men and women would forsake their own personal preferences, their own personal doctrinal inclinations, and say, "Jesus, I want to go where you want me to go"? Wouldn't that be wonderful, my friend? And what would it do to our churches if every young man and woman would end up going to the right college, the university, the seminary, and if all would be led by the Holy Spirit and marry the spouses God wants them to have? You ask me, Brother Schultz, if Jesus would have stopped you at the Roman Catholic Seminary, would you have gone? Of course I would have gone to a Roman Catholic seminary. My friend, Martin Luther went to a Roman Catholic seminary, and look at all the good that's come out of it. So when are we going to get it, my friends? When are we going to get that if we want to follow Jesus, we're going to have to stop making our own choices, we'll have to give up our own personal preferences, we'll have to get rid of all our prejudices and do exactly what he tells us to do? And again, whenever Jesus calls us, we come to a point of conflict because there's something within us that doesn't want to go there or doesn't want to do it, or it's cowardice that doesn't want to face the difficulties that lie ahead of us, and so we back off. We must not back off when Jesus speaks. We must do what he tells us to do. That's the test of true discipleship, because the Apostle Paul says, as many as are led by the Spirit, not by their own choices and preferences, but as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So it's time to get ready. I put my wife and two children on the airplane down to the state of Indiana, where her mother and father live. And then I bought a homemade 4x8-foot trailer, which I hooked to a small car that was a Dodge Dart model. And I put some furniture on that trailer, and I filled the inside of their two-door automobile with boxes, the back of it, and then the front of it, as much as I could. And as I got in the car, my friend, there was so little space for me, I could never put my right arm down because my arm, right arm always rested on a cardboard box all the way from Alaska, the 3,000 miles down to the state of Kentucky, where Asbury Seminary was located. Of course, before I left, I sent an application to Asbury Seminary, but I didn't wait for a return because Jesus said, Asbury, that's where you go. So I was going there. Whether they accepted me or not, I'm on the way. I'm coming. Jesus has spoken. Because the capital of Alaska, where I lived, is isolated, I had to put my equipment on a ship. And then that ship took us to Prince Rupert in British Columbia. And then I had to drive through the Canadian Rocky Mountains. For 100 miles, I drove on a gravel road in heavy, heavy snow where I could hardly see more than 30 to 40 feet. And all of a sudden, in front of me, there was a huge, huge animal crossing the gravel road, bigger than a horse. And do you know what it was? You guessed it right. It was a moose. And it was the first time I ever saw a moose in nature. And it was gorgeous. It was beautiful. Praise the Lord. On your way, following Jesus, you have beautiful, wonderful experiences. But then you also have trying experiences. And that happened a few minutes later. The hitch of my trailer broke, and now I had to drag this trailer on a chain behind me with my car, and I didn't know how many more miles I would have to go through this snowstorm on this gravel road. I already had gone a couple of hours, yet I'd never seen a car meet me or pass me. I was out there in the sticks, my friend, dragging this trailer by chain. I would go maybe 10 to 15 miles per hour, so I prayed. I said, Jesus, would you please help me? I need some help, because it didn't really want to spend the night in an automobile out there in the cold and no man's land, squashed between the left door and the cardboard box. And just shortly after that, Jesus helped me. Something wonderful happened. I saw, through the snow, I saw the beautiful flickering of a blue light. Glory to God. I had been a machinist. I knew what that was. This was a welder at work in a machine shop by a gas station. And there, my friend, my hitch was welded together. Jesus never fails. So, on the way to Asbury Theological Seminary, I had many unusual experiences. I'll continue telling you some of these next week again. My friend, are you glad that when Jesus called, I didn't put him on the back burner and said, Jesus, yes, I'll go to seminary in 6 months. When I'm finished with my contract. I believe if I would have put Jesus on the back burner, I wouldn't be on radio today telling thousands and thousands of people about this wonderful Savior. Don't you ever put Jesus on the back burner. Don't you ever say, Lord, I'll follow you, but let me first bury my Father. The time to follow him is always now. I'm Pastor Schulze, with a Call to Obedience radio ministry. Goodbye now until next week.